He fell down on the ground laughing. He laughed so hard that he began to cry. He had just been told by God that he and his wife were going to have a child. What a silly thing, he felt, that God had just told him that. So he shared that news with his wife, and she too started laughing, and the two of them laughed for most of the rest of the day. For Abraham was 100 years old, and Sarah was 90 at that time. They could not believe what God had told them, that he would build nations from their offspring. And a year later, Sarah bore a child, Isaac, and God, as God promised, built a covenant on Isaac. God told Gideon that he would drive out the oppressors of Israel. Gideon could not believe this, for he was one person, and the oppressors of Israel were many, an army that he would have to go against. He was just one person. So Gideon said to God, I cannot believe that, but I would like to put you to the test. Here is my fleece. I'm going to put it on the ground, and tomorrow morning the dew should only put the dew on the fleece and not on the ground. He thought that is impossible. God could never do that type of act. Yet in the morning, he saw that the fleece was filled with water and the ground around it was dry. And then I believe he must have thought, let's do two out of three. And God, let's just reverse that. Let's make the fleece dry and the ground all around it wet. And then I will believe. The next morning, as you know, the fleece was dry and the ground was wet. And Gideon went forth from that place and drove the oppressors out of Israel. We have a familiar gospel reading this morning. I read one time that if it's a Sunday after Easter, it's got to be Thomas's Sunday. And this is the story of Thomas. For Thomas was not in the room when Jesus first appeared. Some say it was the evening of that day of the resurrection. And Jesus came amongst those disciples and showed him his hands and showed him his side, showed them, and they believed. And then he breathed on them the Holy Spirit. Well, as you would guess, the disciples were excited about this and couldn't keep it to themselves. And when they saw Thomas the next time, they told Thomas about what had happened. And Thomas said, I cannot believe. I cannot believe that Jesus has risen from the dead. So a week goes by, they are gathered again in the room, and Thomas is there this time. And again, Jesus appeared amongst them. And I can imagine the look that Jesus gave to Thomas that day. Probably a look very similar to the day or the night he gave the look to Peter before the cock crowed. And so Jesus looked at Thomas and said, come here, put your finger in the nail holes. Put your hand in my side. Stop doubting and believe. And when Thomas did so, when Thomas put his hand in the finger, put his finger in the finger in the hand wounds and his hand on his side, he believed and said, my God, my God. Abraham, Sarah, Gideon, and Thomas. Familiar figures of the Bible, individuals that God used during their lives, God blessed them and guided them throughout their lives, and they were obedient, and yet they doubted. They doubted, and each believed once God had done something to show them, and they shouted out, my Lord and my God. Now, a different story. A little lighter. An atheist was walking through the woods one day, and the atheist was admiring the majestic beauty that he saw. Saw the plants, saw the animals, saw the sky, and thought, what a wonder this is to be walking through this beautiful forest. And all of a sudden, he hears some rustling in the brush, and he turns around and sees a 7-foot grizzly bear. And that grizzly bear is bearing down on him, and he begins to run and run faster and faster and faster. And then, as you would guess, he tripped. And as he looked up, that grizzly bear's paw was getting ready to come down on him. And he cried out, "Oh my God and my Lord." Time stopped. The bear froze and the forest became silent. It was then that a bright light shone down on the man, and a voice came out of that saying, "What can I do for you?" And the atheist looked up and said, "Help me. Help me in this situation. Help me, for I believe." And God said, "You deny my existence all these years. Teach others and don't that I don't exist, and even credit creation as an accident. You expect me to help you out of this problem?" The atheist looked up and said, as he looked up at the light, "Well, it would be hypocritical of me to ask you to treat me as a Christian today, but perhaps you could treat the bear as a Christian." "Very well," said the voice. The light went out and the sounds of the forest resumed. And then the bear lowered his head, lowered his paw, and spoke, "Lord, bless this food which I'm about to receive and for which I am truly thankful." We know the rest of the story. But if that atheist had believed and said what was truly in our hearts today, I believe that God would have saved him that day. What about us? What about us as we live out our lives? Do we believe? Do we believe the promises that God has made to you and to me as we live out our lives? Do we believe? In Jeremiah 29:11, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, God promised the people at that time and promised each of us today, "I have plans for you, plans for a future, and plans with hope." Do we believe? Do we believe that as we live out our lives today? Do we believe as we read the newspapers or watch what's going on TV and hear about the bombing in Paris and the bombing in Belgium? Do we believe that God has a plan for us, plans for a future, and plans for good? Do you believe when you get that word from the doctor that the diagnosis is not good? Do you believe that you have a future and a future with hope? Do we believe God's promises to us? Do we believe that Jesus is interested in me? In Matthew 11, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you." Was he speaking to others at a far past time? Or is he speaking to me this day as I'm living out my life this day? That I can have a burden. I'm waiting for that telephone to ring. I had gotten word an hour ago that my son was injured in Iraq, and I'm supposed to be getting a call. Will that call come? Can I cast that burden on Jesus and expect that he will take it and expect that he will live up to his promise? And I can rest. I can rest. In Romans 8, am I convinced that nothing can ever separate me from the love of God? Nothing can separate me from the love of God. What if I'm at the bottom? I've reached bottom in my addiction. Can I believe that nothing will separate me from the love of God? Scripture is filled with promises to us, but do we believe and can we take those promises into our lives as we live out our lives day by day? Many, when they hear about Thomas, they know the story. They know that he is often called the doubting, the skeptical, doubting Thomas. But we then ask, how could someone sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to Jesus teach, watching the miracles that Jesus performed, how could he possibly doubt? If I was in his situation, I would say, I would never doubt. Or would I? Doubt is not always bad. Doubt leads to questions, and questions lead to answers, and answers can bring us closer and closer to God and increase our faith. Doubt, I believe, is a prelude to faith. For those that are through our doubt, our faith becomes deeper, and our faith becomes real, and our faith can then be put into action. Were those words that God spoke to Abraham, Gideon, and Thomas spoken to us? And were the promises made in each of those scripture passages spoken to each of us this day? Do we believe? Amen.